John. Do you keep that open on page 980? And there'll be some things up on the screen to help us as we go as well. Let's pray. From John's Gospel, just before the events of Easter, there were some Greeks who went up to Jerusalem and came to Philip and said, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus. Lord Jesus, we want to see you. We want you to reveal yourself to us, to make yourself known to us, and to be satisfied in you. And we pray that that would happen now and in the week ahead. Amen." Treasure, or a pirate might say treasurer. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? It conjures up images of all that we desire, all that we long for. When I was a kid, I loved that story, Treasure Island. The idea of going off in a ship to a desert island to find the treasure with the on the map where the X marks the spot. And today, people might have given up on buried treasure, but they're still buying their lottery tickets, entering Star Search or X Factor or whatever. I think all of us love the idea of finding treasure of one form or another. So I'm sure this reading from Matthew has got us thinking, what's the treasure Jesus is talking about? How can I have it? What makes it so valuable it's worth giving up everything for? We're at the end of our series with Jesus thinking about mission in Matthew's Gospel. And people have started to reject Jesus, and in response, he started to teach in parables, stories with a hidden meaning. So on the screen, there's a picture we've used before, pistachio nut, if you like those. It's a bit like a pistachio nut in that there's a story that Jesus tells, but there's a hidden meaning, that the inner bit is the hidden meaning of the story. And the first parables he tells are to the whole crowd. And a division takes place. Some people think, well, why is he talking about seeds and weeds and stuff? He should be talking about religious stuff. And they're offended and they stop listening. Others are intrigued. They want to know more. And so they go with his disciples to hear. And perhaps we've experienced over the last few weeks one or other of those reactions. Hopefully the first one. And Jesus says, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." Listen. If you're intrigued, if you want to know more, keep finding out, keep listening. And to the disciples gathered around him inside the house, he tells two more parables, the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price. So he says, first of all, remember the treasure in the field. Verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Imagine you're walking along, maybe on the World's Way or somewhere, probably not today. Or if you're not a keen walker, you've got to walk across a field for some reason, and you stumble over something hard, and after holding in a curse and a comment about suing someone, you wonder, what is it? So you look down and you see the corner of what looks like an old box, and now you're really intrigued, so you start digging, and out comes this big chest. And you open it with excitement, and yes, you've guessed it, it's filled with gold coins and diamonds, worth more than you could ever imagine. That's the story Jesus tells. And he doesn't allow us to face the moral dilemma that we would face, do I tell the police and get my 50 quid reward? He's more concerned about the story and its meaning. And in the story, the man is filled with joy and excitement. I can't believe this has happened to me. With this, I can do everything I ever dreamed. I can buy the house. I can buy the presents for my family. I can buy the diamond-studded collars for my guinea pigs. There's no question he must have the treasure. Nothing else is as valuable to him as this treasure. His clothes, his house, his car, his garden, his job, everything is disposable compared to this. And once he feels like that, it's obvious what he must do. He sells everything, the house, the garden, the whole city season ticket, which is worth a bit more than it was a couple of months ago, and he buys the field. If the field is his, the treasure is his. It's worth losing everything to have the treasure, and he does. And just in case we think this reaction's a bit over the top, Gordon's already told us about those people in wherever it was. And I was reading about someone who was killed recently, trying to get to treasure in the Rocky Mountains. I don't know if it was the same person. And he's the fourth man to have died in the attempt. People will risk everything, be willing to lose everything for something they're convinced is of great value. And Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like that. And it raises the question, have we found the treasure? And if so, are we willing to give up everything for it? Remember the treasure in the field. And then Jesus says, remember the pearl of great price, verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. So we move from a field to a marketplace, maybe one of those posh auction houses in the West End of London, and we meet a merchant who loves pearls. He adores pearls. He spent his whole life looking for the perfect pearl. Just in case you're confused, we're talking about the things you put in a necklace, not the things you use to put up tents. Could get a bit confusing around here. Sorry. We're not told why he's looking for the pearl. But this time in this auction house, he finds it. He knows this is the one he's been looking for. And he must have it. And he's willing to give up everything to get it. His jeweler's shop, every other pearl he owns. So he does the deal and it's his. And Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like that. And it raises the question, have we found the pearl? And if so, are we willing to give up everything to get it? Remember the pearl of great price. And of course, if we're those who want to hear more, the next question is, well, what is the treasure? What's the pearl Jesus is talking about? Well, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like, but I think we can get even more specific than that. The kingdom, the treasure is Jesus. The pearl is Jesus. He is the king of the kingdom. He's the one who above all things is supremely valuable and who gives everything in the kingdom. So let's think about this. How is Jesus the greatest treasure? And we're just gonna gaze at the treasure for a few minutes as you would if you found this thing in the field, or as you would if you were standing on top of a mountain gazing out over a beautiful snow-capped view. So let's just think about what we've discovered about Jesus in Matthew's gospel. And you can look all this up later if you would like to. I'd encourage you to. What have we seen about Jesus? Well, he's the one we saw in chapter 5 who brings blessing and happiness. We saw he's the one who fulfills and obeys the law perfectly in a way that we never could. We saw that he's the one who brings great reward in heaven. We saw in chapter 6 that he's the one who brings treasure in heaven. He's the one who provides for his people. We saw in chapter 7 he's the one whose words give a foundation for life and are the gate to heaven. We saw in chapter 8 that he brings life. He brings healing. He raises the dead. He controls nature. Chapter 9, he has authority to call people. He has authority to forgive sins. Chapter 10, he's the one who keeps his suffering people going and cares for them. Chapter 11, he's fun to be with. He associates with sinners. He brings rest for the weary and the burdened. Chapter 12, he's the one who will not break a bruised reed or snuff out a smoldering wick. And chapter 13, he's the one whose words bring eternal life, who brings us to the Father, and who will cause us to shine like the sun. And at Easter, of course, in a few weeks, we'll see that He died on a cross in our place as the perfect law keeper, taking the punishment for our law breaking on himself so that we might be seen by God as law keepers, as perfect. And 3 days later, he rose again. He is Lord of all. He gives life. He will return to judge. Jesus is the greatest treasure. Jesus is the pearl. Nothing compares to him. He forgives. He is our righteousness, so we're perfect in the sight of the Father. He is our life. He is life. He brings a glorious, perfect, joyful, eternal future. He provides for his people now. He is glorious, as a recent worship song puts it. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. Jesus is the treasure. Well, I wonder, is that your experience? I became a Christian 22 years ago. When I first became a Christian, I knew I needed Jesus to be my savior. I knew I'd done wrong. I knew I deserved hell. Jesus had died in my place so I could be forgiven and be friends with God. And I prayed and asked him to do that, and I did. He was my savior. But it then took a few more years to work out that I needed to allow him to be my Lord as well. Those secret sins, those areas of my life I'd kept away from him, all of that needed to be under his good and loving rule. And that's an ongoing thing. But in more recent years, the thing I've seen is that he's not only to be my savior and Lord, he's also to be my treasure. He's my reward. He's my hope. He's my joy. You see, salvation is good not only because it delivers us from hell for heaven, it's good because it brings us to Jesus. Heaven is wonderful because Jesus is there. If we don't love Jesus, we won't like heaven. He satisfies in a way that nothing else can. He alone is worthy of being my treasure and your treasure. Well, let's apply this to different groups of people here, and it's worth saying that we might fit into more than one of these different categories. But just as we close, four different groups. First of all, the doubting disciple. Jesus is talking to his disciples, his followers, and at this point, as we've seen, he's being rejected by many, including those in charge, and the disciples are being tempted to doubt. Is it still worth following him? And it may be that's true of you at the moment. You follow Jesus, you believe and trust in him, but you're going through a tough time. Life is hard. God seems distant. When you pick up the phone to him, he doesn't seem to answer. Or maybe you think you've messed up and there's no hope. Or maybe you've heard something about what Jesus teaches and you think, well, if that's true, I'm not sure I want to keep going. Well, this parable is for you. Jesus says, remember the treasure, remember the pearl. You found Jesus, who is the greatest treasure, who is of infinite value. If you lose everything but have Jesus, it's worth it. So stick with him and get whatever help you need to keep sticking with him. Talk things through with someone, ask someone to pray with you, to support you. But stick with him, because he's the greatest treasure. Second, the interested observer. Maybe you've just started coming to church, or you're coming for a particular reason. And if that's you, that's brilliant. We're delighted you're here. We love having new people with us. You won't be new in a couple of weeks. You'll be one of the regulars. And we love getting to know Jesus better together. But I want to point you particularly to the treasure in the field, because there's a subtle difference between the two parables. In the first one, we have someone who stumbles across the treasure by chance. Maybe that's true of you. Maybe you've begun to discover there's something in this Jesus thing. Maybe you're wondering, do I need to think more about this? And I want to encourage you to do that. Wouldn't it be a tragedy to stand on the edge of a field and to see something that looks like a treasure, but to think, oh, I don't need to go and look at that now. I'm too busy. I haven't got time. I'll come back in a few years when I'm less busy. Who knows what the next few years hold? Who knows when we'll die? If there's the tiniest chance Jesus is the greatest treasure, surely he's worth finding out more about. Go and start digging. Then there's the religious searcher. The pearl merchant has been searching for the perfect pearl all his life. And there may be someone here today who's been looking for the truth all your life. I was a bit like that. I went to church as a kid. I was searching. And it might be that you've been coming to church for years and you still don't quite get it. You're beginning to realize the treasure isn't just coming to church or singing or whatever. There's more than that. Maybe you haven't been to church for long, but you've been questioning, wondering, what's life about? What am I here for? Well, my prayer is that today God opens your eyes to see the treasure you've been looking for is Jesus. So I urge you, pray, ask him to reveal himself to you. Pray you'd be able to say what the Apostle Paul says of his former religion up on the screen. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. That's the religious searcher. And then there's the growing disciple. And if you're trusting in Jesus and seeking to follow him, then this is you. How do we grow in our faith? It's a good question to be asking as we focus on making disciples who make disciples. And the answer from this passage is that we grow by focusing on Jesus, the treasure. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, enjoying Jesus, being more and more satisfied with Jesus. For as he becomes more and more our greatest treasure, so other things grow dim and unimportant in comparison. The things we're tempted by, the other priorities that sometimes get in the way, the fear of being seen and known as a Christian, even the religious performance that we sometimes measure ourselves by, all those things will become less important as Jesus is our treasure. As one person writes, we need that sort of old-fashioned Christianity where the most important thing we've ever heard is to put the kingly rule of Jesus first, to put off the old life, to leave the world, to count all things as lost for Christ, because we found the pearl of great price. And of course, as Jesus becomes our treasure, more and more we'll want others to find the treasure as well. If he's our joy and delight, why wouldn't we want others to share that delight? We'll invite people to one of the Easter events, give them one of those flyers, or to any Sunday. Any Sunday is an opportunity for people to meet Jesus. When we're tired and worn out, we'll go to Jesus. We'll remember who he is for us. He's our treasure who satisfies. When we're tempted to some sin, we'll look at Jesus and see how he is the treasure. He meets the need that sin never could. So doubting disciple, interested observer, religious searcher, growing disciple, remember the treasure in the field. Remember the pearl of great price. Jesus is the treasure. Jesus is the pearl. I've got some questions to think about up here. Gordon, I don't know if you planned a sort of a response time, or should we just take a moment to think about it now? I'll take a moment. Brilliant. Why not just have a think about those two questions, and if you're really brave, you could speak to someone near you about them. If you'd rather not, just think by yourself. So which of those things describes you? What's the next step for you? How can Christ be your treasure more and more? Just take 1 minute, either on your own or with someone near you. And we'll do, if you started chatting, do keep those conversations going afterwards. And as I say, if you sense that you need to pray with someone or talk to someone, then do grab someone you trust afterwards and spend some time in prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the treasure in the field. You are the pearl of great price. That we pray that this week you'd help us to discover that more and more. Help us to gaze on you. And help us to find other things that become of less importance. Help us to find that you meet our need. And so to stick with you. Amen.